This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. If you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, hour number two. Lee Ellis will join us from The Athletic. We'll get an NBA preview underway. So many different kind of questions. We've been dealing with Kyrie Irving and not being vaccinated and what that means for the Brooklyn Nets. We've also got Russell Westbrook now with the Lakers. And does LeBron James have to change anything that he does to sort of accommodate the way Westbrook plays? We'll talk to Lee Ellis about that. We'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb. We didn't get one yesterday because Ron was sick. But now that he's back, we'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well. Monday Night Football last night, the Titans beating the Buffalo Bills. Both teams now 4-2, and the Titans did so the way they win these kind of games. They let Derrick Henry do his thing. He ran for 143 yards and had three touchdowns, and Buffalo struck back. They had a kick return for a touchdown that was called back. I hate those. Are you like me in that every time you see a player return a kick, a punt or a kickoff, and he's going to the end zone, do you think in the back of your mind instantly that there's a flag on the play somewhere? Like before they even show it on the graphic, that there's got to be a flag somewhere? Because it feels like there always is. But nevertheless, the Bills did march down the field. They had fourth and goal. Josh Allen lost a little bit of his footing going for that like half a yard that he would needed for a first down. Bills decided not to kick the field goal, decided to go for the win. I wish more coaches would do that, to be honest with you. I think there is a level of just saying, you know what, we're playing to win, and there's no reason why I can't get fourth and one. In fact, it's less than fourth and one, and there's no excuse why my team can't get it. Allen, if you kind of rewatch the play, looks like he lost a little bit of his footing and didn't get the right push that he was needed, but Jeffrey Simmons, who came in to really clog that hole, prevented the Bills from converting that, keeping the ball, and then possibly getting a touchdown that would win the game. It's a big win for Tennessee, no doubt, because, again, it gets them to 4-2. That's the better record right now in the AFC. Puts them in the running for home field advantage, depending on how Baltimore plays out and some other teams. But right now, if they should tie Buffalo, they would have the tiebreaker because of this win on Monday night. But again, there's 11 weeks left to go. We also have the top five, bottom five coming up in hour number three, so stick around. But the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call and SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a... idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. You missed it Monday, but you get it back on Tuesday. What's the good of the day? Besides the fact that you're back healthy.
Well, that's it. That's the good of the day. Me back.
Yeah, right?
Nah, come on. You know, we need something better than that. The good of the day is something 40 years in the making.
40 years. Let's 40 go back to 1981.
Yeah. I guess it was 81? Around, I mean, maybe yep. A little over 40. I'm not sure when this movie actually came out. But it's a sequel to a movie we've been waiting for. Mel Brooks, History of the World, Part 2.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Something to get behind, right?
I did not know this. When did we get this bit of news?
Well, this came out yesterday, or the news came out yesterday, that I think it's targeting a 2022 release.
Is it Mel Brooks? Hasn't he passed away?
No.
He's still alive?
He's still alive.
Oh, man. Oh, Carl Reiner passed away.
Carl Reiner passed away, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
But he's teaming up with writers such as Nick Kroll, Wanda Sykes, Ike Barinholtz, David Stassen, and Kevin Salter. I don't know who those guys are. Except for Wanda Sykes. I know who she is.
And, I know Nick Kroll. He was on a show called The League about about guys who play fantasy football. It was so funny. That was hilarious.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have any details about what they're going to make fun of. But we all remember History of the World Part 1, where they made fun of the Roman Empire, the Spanish Inquisition.
Absolutely.
One of the great musical numbers in film history.
That's right.
So, this should be fun, right?
I think so.
French Revolution. Now, I don't know how much...
Yeah, it's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king. Now, I don't know how much Mel Brooks will play into it. you know, last time, I mean, he was one of the writers. He directed it. He started it. I don't know if he's going to run the full gamut in this movie.
Right. Okay.
I hope he does have some role because he is a funny guy.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Real funny.
So, yeah, right. I'm curious. I'm just curious to, like, okay, what are they going to tackle? Because where we left off, I think they ended with the French Revolution, right?
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
So, I mean, you can
see where
you
go.
Go American Revolution, Civil War.
Yeah, a bunch of places you can go now.
You know, does he tackle, like, the dot-com era?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm now kind of excited for that.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I went to go see No Time to Die yesterday afternoon. Yeah. And I sat through 35 minutes of previews.
They didn't have a preview for this one yet?
No, but they did have a preview. A movie I kind of forgot, and when I saw it, I went, oh, yeah, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes.
And I went, you know.
When is that coming out?
That is coming out Thanksgiving.
What? Why? Which
I don't know. but I got to think, like, we're going to have a family get-together at Thanksgiving. I think that's a movie we have to go see.
I mean, yeah.
I definitely have to go see it. Now, I loved the trailer. Like, they didn't. The problem with the 2016 all-female Ghostbusters is that they tried to do Ghostbusters again.
Yeah.
They just tried to, which is, I have no problem with that, but don't retell the same story. This is totally different. This is a bunch of kids who moved to a house that one of the Ghostbusters, I can't forget which one. Egon?
I think it's Egon's
house.
His grandkid.
Yeah, his grandkid. They have this house, but that's where they stored all the ghosts.
Yeah.
In the traps, and then they escape, and then they've got the car, and they. I think it looks brilliant. Now I can't say the movie is going to be great. Maybe it's a pile of dew, but the previews at least made you go. They took a concept and they reworked it. They did something different with it. Right, which I'd like. That I can get behind this. If you just redo something, I'm usually like, eh. But if you give me a new twist on it, that's I'm okay with a franchise continuing in that way.
And like you said, I mean, you know, the slightest differences were, you know, with the all female cast was that this one was in a basement instead of the top of the building.
Right, exactly.
You know, where like the demons were.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny.
Yeah, but I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't think it was all that great.
Yeah, I mean, there's one scene.
There was a couple of funny scenes.
There's one scene that sticks out in my mind when Leslie Jones goes into that scene with the mannequins.
Yeah, that's true.
She just opens the door. She goes, nope. And closes
it.
Yeah,
I like that. Because
that's every one of us. Come on.
I know. No kidding. Mannequins are freaky. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there because I was like, oh, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, but you know.
And I know I had seen it. I had seen it on YouTube and a couple of times, but I totally kind of forgot. And to be honest with you, if you had told me it was out and I missed it, I would have believed you.
I didn't even know. But Thanksgiving seems like a weird
time.
Why not Halloween?
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that more of a Halloween movie?
It seems like that would be a better place to put it.
Of course, now I'm starting to get the feeling that you just take all three of the major holidays right now and just mash them into one.
Yeah, I got it.
Because, I mean, there's some places that already have Christmas decorations up, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
I know. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, Bengals offensive lineman Jackson Carmen.
Yep.
Upon his arrival to Detroit, asked for food recommendations via Twitter. So what do people recommend? Mom's Spaghetti.
Sure.
Right? Why not? It's a new pop-up joint. Well, he was an offensive lineman who was on the COVID protocol early in the season, came back, and then this was pretty much his first, like, I think it's his first game back. He didn't really play all that much, but the moment that he did play, he ended up throwing up on the field.
Oh, did he really?
So a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, he's still sick with the virus. And he's like, no. He's blaming it on Mom's Spaghetti.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to do that.
No. I don't think so, too.
Because I'm pretty certain, Jackson, you're going to be in the next Eminem song.
I think so, too. I think you're right. Right. Oh, my God.
I mean, the only other person who trashes people more in songs is Taylor Swift, and Eminem
yeah,
is
right.
a lot more humorous in his style and a lot more cutthroat in his style.
He's amazing how he throws like names of people in songs that were relevant at the time, and then you listen to that song, you're like, that is such a 1999 thing, right?
2002.
Yeah, 2002 or 2003.
He's making fun of Chaney's heart problems. I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember Chaney had heart
problems.
That.
Yeah. He actually has a line about Chandra Levy. Remember the woman that disappeared in Washington and the congressman that was accused of doing some, you know, maybe contributing to her disappearance?
Yeah.
That, you know, that was in the news cycle for a bit and then disappeared. And you listen to the song, like, oh, yeah, that was from like 2000 or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, he should throw this name in there.
He should throw Jackson. And Jackson Carmen. I mean, come on. Eminem rhymes words that don't belong together. Jackson Carmen is probably simple. He's probably like, oh, where am I going to go with this?
He's probably got 10 of them he could probably figure out. All right. What's the bad of the day? Dumb of the day.
Well, you remember those zebras?
Yeah, that we talked about, they were on the loose.
Yeah, they're on the loose. Well, three of them were on the loose. Now, one had been captured but ended up passing away because it wasn't captured quite humanely, unfortunately. But so there's two more still running around out there. And their tactics to capture them, kind of reminiscent to from what I've been told, because I don't watch the show quite enough, and I think I need to. Kind of a reminiscent to a scene in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
So their idea to capture the zebras is the holding area where the farm that the zebras were on is kind of just restore the fences, stock it with more food, and they put more zebras in there.
Oh, okay. So that worked?
No,
it didn't work.
We don't know yet.
Well, we don't know.
That's their plan. Oh. That's what they've done.
How hard is it to catch a zebra?
I mean, how many black and white horses do you see running around, right?
It doesn't seem all that difficult to catch a zebra.
No, I mean,
I know. They run like a cheetah? Like,
well,
I know they
have the hide or flight thing.
Right.
Remember the movie Racing Stripes?
True.
Where it was a racehorsing
zebra?
Chris
Rock, yeah.
He, you know, it was a racehorsing zebra, and I remember them talking about it. It was like, well, he has a hide or flight, which means that he has a quick burst of speed, but not steady.
Yeah.
He's like, zebras are able to run really, really fast to get away from a lion or a zebra or not a zebra, whatever's going to eat them.
Whatever's going to eat them. And maybe when they see man, they go, ah, I'm going to fake you out and gone.
Yeah.
See ya. Yeah. Maybe
but
so.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of months now.
Right.
They can't capture these two zebras. So their idea is like, oh, we'll just add more zebras. That'll bring them there.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, well, we'll see. Keep us updated on the zebra trap.
I think they're just going to run into more problems.
I think so, too.
Because, I don't know, are you leaving a door open for them? I mean, how are they supposed to get in?
Right,
I don't get the logic. It's like, you just add more zebras, more food, the zebras will come back. Are they just going to be sitting at the edge of the fence like, let me in, let me in? No, they're not. They're zebras.
Oh, goodness. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We've got Lee Ellis, I should say, coming up next as we continue along with Wake Up Call, talk to the NBA. And then we got Wilson Alexander in Baton Rouge, who's going to talk Ed Orgeron in hour number three. All right, coming up next, the SEC is punished the Tennessee Volunteer Program for what happened Saturday night against Ole Miss. We'll tell you the details next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com, just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so if you've been watching college football over the weekend, you may have heard that the people in Tennessee weren't exactly happy with one particular fourth down play that didn't result in any first down when it was reviewed. And they took their frustrations out on by throwing debris on the field. And, oh, by the way, Lane Kiffin was in town, so why not? And the SEC has now fined the school $250,000 for this debacle, and also said there's going to be some guidelines on how you're going to be doing game management and alcohol sales. They didn't ban alcohol sales because why do that when it's so lucrative? But at this time, the SEC is saying, hey, if you don't meet this, we will. And you don't want that to happen. You don't want us to ban beer sales at a 100,000 seat stadium. Trust us. You don't want that. But it was kind of an ugly scene. It was really bad. 18 people were arrested, 47 people removed from the game. Again, it all depends on how you determine who did what and how they did what. So that is going to be problematic for the school. So nevertheless, it was kind of ugly. But Lane Kiffin decided to keep the golf ball that he said. He says he's going to keep it as a souvenir.
Why not?
Why not? I would too. Exactly.
Which surprises, this begs the question, I mean, was this premeditated?
Well, who came into the game with a golf ball,
exactly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just happen to have a title list in your pocket, and you're like, you know what? I've carried this around all day. Time to get rid of it.
I don't know what, I don't know what else to make of it. If you throw a golf ball at a coach, this was deliberate. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing. This isn't like, I'm so angry, what is around me that I can throw?
Right.
Oh, a trash can, a trash bag.
I mean, I get, you know, we see beer bottles and, you know, water bottles, and we see all that. I mean, heck, I mean, they were throwing bottles in London this weekend for taunting penalties. I didn't know Londoners were that against taunting, but that's fine. You know, get on board with the rest of us, London. But yeah, this one, I mean, it's a golf ball.
They did it on purpose.
Or did someone go into, like, you know, did a significant other go into her bag? And was like, what kind of tricks do I have in my Mary Poppins bag? And start pulling out random items.
I got to tell you, people, I know you think that when you go to a game and there's 80,000 or 90,000 or 100,000 people, that you'll be able to do something and no one will identify you. They will identify you.
Oh, they definitely will.
They always do. They always find these people. They always find the guy that throws the snowball, or they always find the guy that throws the debris. They always find the guy. They, like, and it is, ask yourself these questions for those of you who get all worked up at these kind of things. Is your love of going to these games live, is it less important than throwing that one golf ball that's probably not going to do anything? Right? Like, Lane Kiffin will get hit with a golf ball and he'll just get a little medical attention. But he the person who threw the golf ball didn't even hit him.
No, kind of just rolled to him, right?
Yeah. So you didn't accomplish anything, and you're going to never be allowed to go to a game. And trust me, you think you'll be able to sneak in. You won't. They know. They track
that
kind of
stuff.
They have ways of keeping you out. You might get to one or two games where they don't catch you, but you're on the list. And when you're on the list, it means your convenience of going to games is every time you go, you become the guy that sneaks into the Super Bowl, right? Like, you'll never just be able to buy tickets online. Just buy tickets. You'll never be able to go with a buddy. They know who you are, right? They figure this out. And it's trespassing. Because once they say you can't go and you do go, is trespassing that you can't, you know. So there's a whole bunch of things that come with this. So don't bring stuff to games to throw at coaches, no matter how mad you are. Plus, this happened 12 years ago. Like, chill out for a minute. I mean, the guy left. Right, he got fired at USC. He ended up at Florida Atlantic. Okay, he had a rocky road for a while. Right, so don't be all bitter at him. But I did say yesterday one of the reasons that Volunteer fans are upset at Lane Kiffin was because Lane Kiffin came in and the team actually was starting to play good. It was kind of a rebuilding situation. They were playing pretty good and they looked like it was promising. And Kiffin can recruit. So there was a feel-good sort of atmosphere around the program that Lane Kiffin was in. He's young. He's a good recruiter, good head coach. Things were looking up. And then he left. And Derek Dooley came in, who, by the way, I was on the record as saying I thought that would work out. Vince Dooley's son. I thought, oh, my God, he's like SEC royalty. But no, it didn't work out. And then you had Butch Jones. You had Jeremy Pruitt. None of them all worked out. So, you know, in the end, I know they're still mad at Lane Kiffin, but don't throw stuff on the field. Right now you got Josh Heupel there. So nevertheless, but that's the punishment when I remember going to a Vanderbilt game one time, and Vanderbilt fans don't get rowdy whatsoever. But I remember I was with my son at the time. He was young, and we were, you know, we went, you know, to the concourse area and we were coming back, and there was a fight
that broke out. For whatever reason, I have no idea what the fight was about. It didn't look like it was two fan bases fighting it out. It might have just been a personal beef or somebody. And I remember going, we were in the, you know how you're in like the runway that goes back to your seats? You're kind of in a crowd of people. And I remember these two guys started fighting, and I remember having to hold my son. I pulled him like to protect him, because you have no idea what happens at those moments, right? Like, it's scary when you're in that kind of setting. You don't know if it escalates. Does it turn into a brawl? Security's not around. And when you get to these game settings where people want to throw stuff on the field and get a little bit more bold, you never know what's going to happen. So I know people are passionate, but you know, it's just, you got to be careful. All right, Lee Ellis is going to join us in just a couple minutes. We're going to talk the NBA because that starts tonight with two games, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, Lakers and Golden State. A lot of conversation, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were crowning the Milwaukee Bucks the champions of the NBA. There's a couple of things have changed in the league.
It literally feels like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I mean, it's so bizarre. I mean, when you look at everyone else's offseason, it seems forever ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Like football, we all know football just lasts, offseason's way too long. Baseball might be even the same amount of time as NBA.
Well, it was really important for this league to sort of get back on track, because what it didn't want was just like, well, remember in 2020 when we had to shut down for COVID and then we were playing in the bubble in Disney World, like into the fall, and then we waited until like December to start another season, and then we pushed the next season back until December again. And then, you don't want a 5-year look, and you're like, well, we never really got it together. You got to be like, guys, we just played. I know it's a quick turnaround, but the sooner we do this, the sooner we can get back to a normal schedule, where the playoffs are occurred in the spring, the finals are in June, and everybody's off for the summer until camp starts up in September. The sooner we do that, the better everyone's going to be. And I think that's where they're at. But there's a kind of a lot to go around with him. LeBron James is going to be 37 years old. 37. Is he still the best player in the game? Would you give that to Kevin Durant?
See, I can't give it to Kevin Durant. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's his lot in life to always be number two.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, he was second.
Or Giannis.
Second pick overall. I mean,
would you still take a 37-year-old LeBron as the best player? If you were allowed to take one guy in the NBA right now.
If you had a team and you were like saying, hey, I'm going to build a team. I'm going to start with.
Yeah. Would you start with LeBron?
Is it LeBron still?
Yeah, see, I don't know if it is.
Do you go, I mean, does Curry even get a mention in that? Or are we done with Curry now?
I know. Are we done with Curry, right?
I mean, Giannis seems like the logical answer because of how well he's been playing the last couple of years.
But, yeah. But I'm interested, and I can't wait to talk to Lee about this. I'm interested with Russell Westbrook there. Like, LeBron is really smart. Right, he's a very, very smart basketball player, very brilliant in the tactical nature of the game. Does LeBron know what he has? He knows every player in this league. He knows every one of their strengths and weaknesses. But does he have a mindset of, okay, you know what? I'm getting this guy, and that means I'm going to do this and this differently. I'm going to be able to play. Maybe he likes it. Maybe he's like, well, I got to do this and this now. And maybe this responsibility when we're on the court together is not going to be on me anymore. I don't know, but we know Russell Westbrook likes to shoot, right? He likes to shoot. Yeah, but he likes to dish the ball out, too.
He likes to dish. I mean, come on. We're talking about a guy who, you know, a couple of seasons ago averaged triple-double.
Yeah, he was in a triple-double machine. That's his thing. So it's going to be interesting to see how LeBron sort of adjusts to Westbrook saying, look, I get it. I get why you're here. If we're going to win with you and utilize you to what you're capable of doing, what we all know you can, this is how my team's got to look now. So I want to see how that looks for him. And Anthony Davis, the same thing. You're not off the hook there, Anthony. You know? So, and also, too, the Atlanta Hawks, what a run last year. But we've seen teams do these, you know, catch fire in a bottle, you know?
And then fade away. And then
are the Atlanta Hawks, Trey Young, all that, is he still a legitimate?
Yeah, is he a legit guy? Legit star in the making.
So Lee Ellis will join us next. We'll answer some of those questions in NBA preview as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Glad you could join us.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joins us. NBA preview, two games tonight. How are you, Lee? Thanks for joining us as always.
Great, Tony. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back. Another season about to get underway.
Well, you know, Ron and I were just talking about this. We were like, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were playing basketball in the NBA, and it's a quick turnaround, obviously, to get back on schedule. Do you think it's going to take a while for the sea legs to sort of get back for these guys?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, it feels like it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like things are sort of a little bit more what we are used to expecting coming into an NBA season. And I think that, you know, obviously for the Bucks and the Suns, they played right up until the end there. But for everybody else, you know, teams like the Lakers, I think they're probably keen to get right back at it and to get started again, because for a lot of teams, the season didn't end all that well. And I think even a team like Brooklyn, I mean, they're sort of going through a bit of internal chaos at the moment. But considering how their season ended, you know, they went to seven games, of course, with the Bucks, but had some injuries. I think there's that revenge and that motivation factor to get back at it. So I think teams are probably ready this year, feeling that it's probably open as well, the season, I think, this year. I think there's, you know, you can make a legit case for probably five or six teams to become out of this one as the champs, and I think that's great for the NBA.
Let's go to Brooklyn, and if this Kyrie Irving situation does not, if he does not get vaccinated and he can't play in Brooklyn or when they played the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, the Nets have already said they won't use him as a part-time player. Do you think they'll stand with that? Is it possible? How hard would it be to have a guy that's only on the road, only participating on the road? Is that just too much trouble for Brooklyn right now?
Yeah, I mean, they've said that he won't be playing at all, and I think that's the right approach, because I think they just need to move ahead with that certainty of knowing that he's not going to be with the team until he does get that vaccination. And, you know, Kyrie's kind of stuck to his guns right now and said he's not going to do it. But I think, especially tonight, once the season tips off and he sees his teammates out there and he realises how easy it is to rectify this situation, get the vaccination, and then he's back on the team as soon as he can get onto the court. So it's very, very easy to fix. There's no question that that's all it takes for him to be sort of accepted back into the franchise. But I also feel that, you know, Joseph Tsai, the owner there, and Sean Marks really felt that if Kyrie was only going to be there when it sort of was on the road, that just doesn't help the team, especially when you're like a coach like Steve Nash. You know that at any point during the season, you're going to have guys miss time through injuries and whatever. So you need to know that you have all those guys healthy and available as often as you can, because that helps you build that chemistry and build that continuity with your team, and it just sort of establishes the identity that the team tries to build towards as the season builds on and, you know, as you get to the playoffs. That's what I think a lot of teams realize, is that, you know, the championship isn't won in June. It's won now as the team sort of grows together and evolves together and they build up towards it. And I think that's the thing with the Nets. They're like, listen, if Kyrie wants to say, I'm not getting vaccinated, and he chooses to sit out the entire season, that's his decision, sure. But the Nets have to realize that they have to move forward without him. And I think when you've got two of the top five, 10 players, whatever you want to call Kevin and James Harden there, there's still a legit chance to win the championship even without him. So I think if you're Brooklyn, you just have to move ahead and let Kyrie decide what he's going to do. And if he chooses to join the team, get vaccinated, and then bang, he's on the bus and he'll be there the next day.
All right, let's go to the Lakers, because Russell Westbrook is now on that team. And your thoughts on, does LeBron James, who is very intelligent on players, he knows who he's getting, he knows their style, he knows what they bring, does he have to change anything that he does to accommodate what Russell Westbrook does the best?
Yeah, you make a good point there, because LeBron knows that Westbrook is probably not going to change. I mean, he's that guy who plays 100 miles an hour. And I respect everything about the way Russell Westbrook approaches the game. He is a competitor. He doesn't want to give up at any time during the game. Now, that has also probably been a bit of his weakness at times, where he hasn't been able to adapt and adjust his game in the playoffs. But now he gets a situation where he is playing with, you know, the second greatest or the greatest player of all time. And LeBron might just maneuver things around to say, listen, Russell at his best is him charging down the lane, you know, going from end to end, grabbing those rebounds and igniting the offense. He's not a shooter. He's not a spot-up shooter. He's never going to be. That's just not his game. So there's no point in trying to force Russell Westbrook to do that. So, yeah, I am kind of fascinated to see how it works because, to be honest with you, I don't think it will. I just think that the Lakers have too many of the sort of wrong pieces around LeBron. I think they were silly to give up Kuzma and KCP because those guys clearly understood their roles as role players. And you get a guy like Westbrook who does bring that potential and that upside. But I also just feel that what we've seen, especially since Kevin Durant left OKC there with Westbrook, he plays his own way, his own style, and he really does refuse to change it, even though he hasn't had a lot of success, certainly in the playoffs with that. So it's fascinating, though, but he's in LA. He's back home. You know, it's a big splashy name that the Lakers added in the offseason. But we know that that doesn't automatically mean it's going to turn into success on the court. So, you know, the Lakers, their season as well ended very short last season, you know, losing to the Phoenix Suns. Injuries played a factor, of course, but LeBron getting up there now, he's going to be 37 in a month or two here. He knows that as great as he's been and as incredible as he has been throughout his career, you know, he is closer to the end. And we sometimes sort of, you know, think that he can just keep on playing at the high level that he's been at the last few years. But, you know, at some point he has to drop off, doesn't he? I mean, surely yeah, at some sure. point he has to, but they're still good. They're still one of the better teams, though, as long as he and Anthony Davis are on the floor.
All right, so handicap me the West, because there's two sides of what I see in the West, right? I see teams that have been always around in the finals, Golden State, the Lakers, right, trying to hang on. And then there's these teams like the Jazz and Phoenix last year and Dallas with Luka that are just percolating, Denver percolating towards the top. How do you see this West? Are the old guards still got it, or are these upstart teams that have found things that work for them still going to be in control?
Yeah, well, this goes back to my earlier point where I definitely think there are four or five teams in the West who, if things break right, are a legit chance to make the finals at least. Because if this time last season we had said the Phoenix Suns are going to make the finals, you would have been, you know, laughed off the page because sure. simply the Suns hadn't even made the playoffs in the Devin Booker era. So it's unlikely that a team goes all the way to the finals. So with that in mind, you know, I think you can make a legit case. Obviously, the Jazz. I think the Jazz probably actually finish with the best record because they're a fantastic regular season team. They play at both ends. They've got the defense, the continuity there. So I can see the Jazz being the number one seed in the West, but that obviously doesn't mean they're necessarily the team to go on to make the finals. I think if Jamal Murray can come back and his status is still to be determined there, I think the Nuggets are a real chance because Michael Porter Jr., his growth on the offensive end is really, really helping that team. And I just think that this team, with the MVP, of course, of Jokic there, is ready to sort of get over their own hump because they got swept by the Suns last season in the playoffs. And, of course, prior to that, though, when they did have Jamal Murray in the bubble there, they took the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals. So I think the Nuggets are very close. And then you've got a team like the Clippers who, without Kawhi Leonard, certainly for the start of this season and probably most of it, but if you look at what the Clippers did in the playoffs last season when Kawhi went down, you know, they came back and beat the Utah Jazz, who were the favorite, and then they actually took the Suns to six games as well. So I think the Clippers are in a pretty good spot right now. Kawhi did re-sign, so that's you know, the uncertainty of him going forward is off the table. But Paul George, this could be his MVP season as well. He was brilliant. He's taken a lot of heat in the playoffs the last few years, but he was really good for the Clippers. I think Ty Lue's a great coach for that team. So I can see the Clippers being almost overlooked a little bit, which is probably perfect for them because, you know, we know that the Clippers are a bit of a you know, tarnished franchise in terms of, you know, what happens to them in the playoffs. But it was almost like last season, they got it together. Unfortunately, Kawhi comes up short with the injury, but I think that's actually not a bad team there. So you've got those teams. And then the Dallas Mavericks, Doncic, I think he is the favorite to win MVP as far as Vegas odds right now. And there's no question he's going to have a huge season. But it really comes down for me to what is Porzingis? Is he a legit franchise star? Or is he just more a sort of glorified role player? He was not good for them in the playoffs last season against the Clippers. Really struggled to score. And when he wasn't scoring, really didn't do much else. And the Mavericks know. I think this is one of those seasons. This is like a do or die season for Porzingis. You can make the case, you know, he was coming off an injury and he wasn't that necessarily at his best. But that excuse is not there anymore. He's had a full off season to work on his game. There's a new coach. the Mavericks know that if he is going to be the sort of Scottie Pippen there to Luka Doncic's Michael Jordan, he has to show it this season. And if he can, then the Mavericks are a chance. But, of course, we've seen him as well just struggle in the playoffs. So, you know, a lot of interesting throw-ins. And then that's even not even considering the Phoenix Suns, who did make it last season to the finals. They've brought everybody back. Now, they didn't agree a contract extension with DeAndre Ayton, bit of a surprise, but also not a catastrophe because he's going to be kept under contract here and he only enters restricted free agency next season. So the Suns still hold the power there with DeAndre Ayton. And I think if you're Ayton and you're his agent, you're saying to him, listen, you go out there and make the Suns understand that there's no question they have to offer you the max next season. And if that's the case, then the Suns are also a real chance to get back to the final. So I'm really excited. I mean, it's always like that at the start of the season. You know, everyone's got a case. Everyone's 0-0. But those things I just rattled off there too, I do think that all of them have a legit stake right now if things go their way to be the best team in the West.
All right, I'll get you out with this question. And I can't do a preview without discussing this other drama, Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. What is going on? Like, what? How will this affect the team? I love Daryl Morey saying, look, you're not going anywhere just to go somewhere. I'm not going to just trade you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how much of a problem could this be for the Sixers?
Well, it really is depending on how much Ben Simmons wants to make it a problem, because he's just not – he's a very good player, very good two-way player. You know, we know he's got that, obviously, that shooting deficiency, no question about that. But other than that, he does a lot for his team. But he doesn't quite have that equity yet where he can act like he has acted in the summer, where he's not talking to anyone, he demands a trade, not showing up to practice. And then I think he realized, like, well, the Sixers are not going to trade him until he gets out on the court and plays and shows other teams that he has got that value worth trading for. Because I believe, and this is totally speculative on my behalf, but I think that the other teams who were going to offering trades for Ben Simmons were simply offering that sort of second-level, second-tier guys. No one was offering that big. Like, the Blazers certainly weren't offering Damian Lillard for Ben Simmons. And if you're Daryl Morey, he's got 4 years left on his deal. He's 25 years old, a two-way player. You're not giving up pennies on the dollar just yet for that guy. So I think the Sixers have said to him and his management, you get on the floor and you play well, and if we get a good trade, we'll make the trade. Otherwise, you're going to have to play for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think that's the right approach. I really do. I think that, as I say, Ben Simmons has got to show that he's improved his game, and we'll see whether or not he plays this week. I'm not sure. They've got a huge game, their home opener against Brooklyn on Friday night. His status is in doubt at the moment. But at some point, he has to get out on the court, and we really will see if he has improved his game in the summer like he told us he was doing, and the videos we all saw of him not missing a shot. So, man, that's great, isn't it? The craziness, the chaos, that's what we all love about this. It's just crazy how it all just, you know, it's all back, and we're all ready to go again.
Good to hear your voice again, my friend. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks, man.
You got it. Lee Ellis of The Athletic, host of the No Dunks podcast, also on the NBA. Always like talking to Lee. Good insight. Good insight. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Lee Ellis to talk NBA with us as the season gets underway. This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Hey, don't forget, top five, bottom five, coming up in hour number three. And then Wilson Alexander is going to join us from the Baton Rouge Advocate. And we're going to talk to him about LSU. What exactly is going on there with Ed Orgeron? We think we know. We hear all this speculation, but do we know why LSU is parting ways with a guy that just won a national championship 2 years ago? I said earlier, it's not unprecedented. This happened to Gene Chizik at Auburn. He had won a title with Cam Newton, and then a couple years later, he was out. It can happen quick. I mean, it usually a lot of times it doesn't. But it can happen quick, especially if there is a pile of off-the-field stuff that doesn't really get the kind of national attention that it might. If there's a lot more local issues that are going on that, you know, if you live in Washington or New Hampshire or Michigan, that you're not really paying attention to. Like, it's like the easy narrative, and you're hearing about this from a lot of national people – is, oh, yeah, he's not winning enough games. And those people down in the South, they're crazy about football, and they want you to win games. And if you don't win enough games, it doesn't matter what you did before. It's a lot more than that. It's deeper. So we'll get an idea of what's going on down there. But I will tell you, I mean, look, there is no question. When you look at, you know, college football, right, and it's passion, right? The people are passionate. Everybody's passionate about some sort of sports team. I can go to a hockey arena and find people who are bonkers about their local NHL team, NBA team. It doesn't matter. Passion fans are everywhere. But, you know, when you go to these college areas where there's no immediate professional team within the vicinity and that becomes the only thing. I mean, you go to a place like Knoxville where they're not going to see the Titans on a regular basis because that's 3 hours away. There's no other NFL team in that area. There's no other NBA team in that area. You know, that their orbit is the volunteer program. They're very passionate about it. Now, in Baton Rouge, yeah, the Saints are in New Orleans, right? But you build up sort of this love for the school, this love for the program that you don't want to see tarnished. And when anything comes in, like a fly in the ointment kind of thing, you defend that and you want to get rid of the fly in the ointment. And if a coach like Ed Orgeron is causing some problems off the field, then you take action. It's not just that he lost to Kentucky, right? They're not that knee-jerk reactive. But there are some other issues. So we'll get to that coming up in hour number three. But top five, bottom five could be shook it up after last night's loss by the Bills. We'll see coming up in hour number three as we continue with Wake Up Call.